welcome to another edition of the Lakers Locker Room. I'm your host, Tajon Graham. And as you know, I'm continuing on the quest to 100 episodes. So this is episode 3 of season 5. So I got probably 12 more episodes to go. So continue to rock with me. We're on the quest to 100 episodes where there'll be a very special guest. But you guys got to wait to find out. I got a very special guest for this episode. This is someone who I've had the pleasure of meeting this year and have really worked kind of closely with for the Super Change game, which we'll talk a bit about. You know, she's new to Nipissing, but not really, and you'll get to know more about her. She's the new manager of intercollegiate sports here at Nipissing University Athletics Department. We got Miss Lauren Bregner. Lauren, how you doing today?
Good. Thanks for having me, Tajon. This is awesome.
No, thank you so much for taking the time, man. There's so much to get into, but I first want to start with, obviously, your job. Like I said in the intro, you're new to Nipissing, but you're not really new to Nipissing.
Yeah.
But, you know, this has been your first full year in terms of the whole season, the season's ending, kind of. What's been your biggest takeaways of the jobs now that the whole season's done?
Yeah, that's a great question. I started the job in September, so I had a full season of all of our fall and fall-winter sports. And one huge takeaway is our student-athletes are resilient, they're so brave, and they're very talented and skilled. And I absolutely love getting to watch everyone compete at that high level. And it's just a lot of fun to be able to contribute to your student-athlete experience and be able to watch you succeed in on the court and obviously in the classroom as well. So it's been a lot of fun.
How did the opportunity to come back to Nipissing? So first, for people who don't know, you were a student here at Nipissing. You were on the women's volleyball team. Was it OCAA still when you were on the team?
Yeah, so my first 2 years, we were still in the OCAA. And then in that transition year, in my third year, that was when they moved to the OUA and U Sport.
So how did the opportunity come about for you to take this job? Because obviously, this is my fifth year here, and obviously this job wasn't available until this year, and so you took it. So how did the whole opportunity come about for you to come back to Nipissing?
Yeah, it's a great question. So as you mentioned, I was here until 2015 doing BPHE, playing volleyball, which I loved. After that, I was able to go to the University of Windsor for my Master's of Human Kinetics with specialization in sport management. So that really prepared me for more of the business behind the scenes side of sport, which I knew that I was kind of more going in that direction versus the, you know, in front of people and the cameras and everything.
Right.
So that really prepared me for my next role, which was with the Ontario Volleyball Association. I was started as the high performance coordinator, but then moved up to the athlete development manager there. So I was there for 5 years, absolutely loved it with my sport. Managing high performance athletes and coaches and programs. And then the position popped up, and I was fortunate enough with the OVA, we run our Team Ontario programs here in the summer.
Yes.
So I still had a very good relationship with Mark LaRochelle, the coach, women's volleyball coach
shout
here.
Up, shout out.
Yeah, and Vito Castiglione, obviously, athletic director. So when the job posting came up, I was really intrigued by that and the potential for that to be my next step career-wise. I felt it was the right move, a little bit more responsibility.
Yes.
And I always knew I wanted to come back to varsity sport. It gave so much to me, as I know you feel the same way.
Yes.
And I feel passionately about contributing and giving back to student athletes and help them succeed, as I mentioned before. So it felt right and in the right time in my life. So I was really happy that it came up and I applied and got the job. So I was very happy with that.
As you reflect kind of on the job now, that from September to now, what was your expectations going into, you know, taking the job, and did they change in terms of what has it been now that you're kind of almost a year in, or not in, how much, the 8 months probably?
Yeah, close to that.
Yeah, kind of, yeah. So basically, what were your expectations coming in? Did they change, or were they better now that you look probably 8 months later?
Yeah, that's a good question. Expectations coming in was I knew there was going to be a learning curve for sure.
Right.
Just with OUA policies, procedures, and honestly, like institutional policies and procedures as well. It's very different than working from like a private nonprofit organization where you have a little bit more freedom to do certain things. But so I knew that was going to be a learning curve, and it was, in terms of, you know, eligibility, AFAs, all that fun stuff that student athletes are dealing with, and so with same with coaches, to even game day expectations. So just learning as I was going, I knew that was going to be the expectation, and I love that way of learning, being involved and learning on the go. I thrive in those situations. So expectations for that stuff was right on target with what I thought it was going to be. I think I learned a lot in terms of relationship management with student athletes, with coaches, and that was a really fun part of the job that I wasn't totally expecting. And I think I was a little unsure when I was coming in as my previous role when I was here was a student athlete.
Right.
And then now coming in as more of a managerial role, I wasn't sure how that was going to go, but my expectations were positively succeeded what I thought was going to be the case. So I've really enjoyed being back with the coaching staff here and admin team, and it's been a great journey. And I know now, after having a year in my belt, that I can contribute so much more next season, now that I fully know what a full season of OUA sport looks like. It's a lot, as you know. It's a lot of games. It's a lot of weekend work. It's a grind. It's a grind. But it was so much fun. It was so much fun, and I'm just really looking forward to helping grow the Lakers brand, the Lakers teams, and succeed as a group next year.
And I think, honestly, you're another example of kind of how cool Nipissing is in terms of the opportunities it presents. You know, a lot of people throughout different faculties at Nipissing are able to come back and kind of contribute. Specifically, with student athletes. Like I met a lot of people over the last 5 years that once upon a time were a student athlete on the team or a student came back to kind of help out. So I think that's a really cool thing.
Mm-hmm.
Going back and talking about, you know, your student athlete side, obviously coming to Nipissing, what brought you to Nipissing in terms of kind of what was that process like in terms of coming out of high school, choosing university? Like, what ultimately led you to come to Nipissing?
Yeah, it's a great question. I often think about that as well. And I only look back with positive memories in terms of that whole journey and deciding to come to Nipissing. It's one of the best decisions of my life. But coming from a very large high school in Pickering, Ontario, where there was almost 3,000 kids at this school, I knew I didn't want to be just a number in a university, and how I wanted to foster more deeper relationships with the people that I would be going to school with, my coaches and my teammates. So when I was looking at physical and health education options in universities in Ontario, there was only a few that offered that specific program. And after doing the tour, meeting coach and the girls on the team at the time, I knew that this was the right spot for me, and I never looked back. It truly was four of the best years of my life. I felt supported. I grew into the person I am today, both like on the court and off. And I think the education I gained here really helped me, one, move on to my master's program, and then I'm applying it every day when I'm here. So I really am happy and grateful that I chose the school and had the experience that I did.
What was your favorite part of the student athlete experience? Because a lot of times people have so many different memories, right? Like, and nine times out of ten, it's not even what's on the court, it's the stuff off the court. So for you, what was your favorite moment as a student athlete here?
Yeah, great question. So I think it was my second year, we went to Tampa as a team. Yeah, we did we did an international trip. I think at the time we were doing every 2 years, we would go away somewhere, but it was just to Tampa, so we didn't go to Portugal or anything. But those trips, and again, like you mentioned, it's all the off-court stuff that really just sticks in your brain, and the memories that you share with your teammates on the phone when you call them. Oh, you remember when we were on the beach and playing beach volleyball and Tampa? It's the little things, and honestly, like the card games we would play on the road to Windsor, the 9-hour drive. It is those little things. It is the team wins also, and I'll remember those big victories and the hard losses for sure. And I think that helps me day to day as well. But it is the relationship building that really has stuck with me. I'm very close friends with a bunch of the girls that I played with,
and that's awesome.
I'm super grateful that they're still in my life, but it is the off-court memories that really stick with you for sure.
Yeah, and that's the thing I love about being a student athlete experience. I knew coming to university 5 years ago, like, I have an older brother, so we talked about this in high school, like, you know, when you graduate, there's always like 20 people you don't know, and you obviously know, like, people say, oh, we're gonna be friends forever, and you're 17, 18, you're like, nine times out of 10, you're not gonna really talk to people from high school. And I found that out, not the hard way, but I really don't talk to one person from high school.
Right.
University, I knew that it would really be an opportunity to really make lifelong friends, because you guys are all growing together. You all start as a teenager, go into your early 20s, you go through stuff like that. So kind of just talk a bit about that in terms of the evolution process for you, yeah. right? You know, coming as a first year, you know, graduating, obviously going to your master's, now you're in this pro, you know, it's crazy that it's been 10 years from that until as we talk, which is crazy. Not trying to age, I mean, now that I'm a fifth year senior, people give me the age jokes now too, so I'm starting to get the brunt of it too, but just talk about the evolution process of, you know, first year Lord and Brenner to who you see right now, or even your last year at Nipissing.
Yeah, it's crazy to know like how much you change in that time of your life.
Oh my gosh.
I wouldn't even recognize the Lauren in high school versus the Lauren I was or I am now, or even after the 4 years at Nipissing. Like if you think about it, you're away from your family for the first time. You're cooking for yourself, which is new.
Laundry.
I learned how to do laundry in Governor's House. Yeah. It's just a whole new ballgame, and you're just learning life skills. Like yes, you're learning how to play volleyball and how to go to school and study. It's a little different for sure. Exactly. But it's the life skills too. An option for me was to stay at home and go to the University of Toronto.
Yeah.
And I just think I would have been so far behind in those life skills
if
I would have stayed at home. 100%. Right?
100%.
Yeah. Like shout out to my mom and dad for helping me in high school, but I don't think I would have been doing myself a favor if I had stayed at home and not gotten that experience to be alone and also like have my friends help shape who I am, go through difficult situations, learn what my integrity looks like. You know, it's important time. You find yourself. Exactly.
Yes.
So I think that's a huge, huge part of going to school. And I'm glad that like both my university experiences were 4 hours away.
Right.
So I didn't have a ton of options to come home. And I think that really helped me grow into the person I am today. And it was awesome experiences.
I agree with that 100%. Obviously, you know, from Pickering, Scarborough's, I literally lived 5 minutes in Pickering. So
we're not
too far from each other. But I totally agree because when I went in high school, when I graduated high school back in 2010, I didn't have an opportunity, unfortunately. I didn't get any offers. I got to UTSC, but kind of the same thing. I really wanted to play basketball more, so I wanted to get away from home. Not in a bad way, because obviously I loved my parents, my brother, and all
course,
that stuff.
Yeah.
But I wanted the opportunity to grow, because I knew that I wouldn't have been able to grow. My brother stayed home, but that was what's best for him, but
everyone's different.
So I begged my parents to do a fifth year of high school. They let me do it, and obviously I got the offer to go to Algoma. Then Coach Corey came here, and I came here. And these 5 years has been awesome in terms of the maturation process. Like, I look at some of my stuff from my first year, I'm like, I cringe sometimes, not like 19-year-old me, I'm like, oh my gosh. And,
I know,
But now I'm almost 24, and it's crazy to think about, but basically, just seeing how far I've come, you know, people all the time talk about, oh, congratulations on all your accolades and this and that, but 19-year-old me was not focused on this stuff. For me, it was always, my first year was about basketball, school, athletics at repeat. Like, there wasn't much for me, but then I think COVID was great because it gave an opportunity to really see other things to do outside of your sport. And I think a lot of times too, you know, talking to people during COVID, during season 2 of this podcast, like a lot of people are talking about the identity crisis and kind of some people started that process early, some people started late, some people fortunately didn't find it and were struggling. For you personally, just my question for you is kind of, did you ever start the process or did you always have in your mind, you know, that volleyball doesn't define you, like there's other things I can do, like did you really, how were you able to avoid going through identity crisis? Because you're obviously thriving, doing very well. Was it always like that? Or did you struggle after university kind of finding yourself outside of being a student athlete?
Yeah, that's an excellent question. I know a lot of student athletes really struggle with that. I've talked to a few at other institutions and it is a challenge for sure. And one that needs to be addressed and we need to support student athletes through that. But for me, coming into Nipissing, I knew my role was going to be not starting. So my identity was more supporting the team and I knew my role and when I had access to the court, what I had to do. And I think that role clarification really helped me. But I think the identity crisis piece of it didn't come until later in terms of And even then, I don't know if I really had a ton of it just because I wasn't starting. I didn't have like that pressure per se on me all the time. So my mental space was a little bit more positive than some of the other girls. Yeah.
And not to interject, a lot of people don't realize, there's a lot of pressure when you're a student, especially when you're a star. Like people don't realize how stressful it is. Like people see the game days and you guys just play your sport, but you guys do not know what goes behind the scenes.
No, it's student athlete, right? So
student first.
Exactly. So that student piece, like you're at school 9 to 5 and then you're at practice later and homework and exams mixed in there. it's a full-time job being a student athlete. It's a hard job. But I know when I graduated Nipissing, I decided not to play at Windsor, just because I wanted to focus more on studies and my internship, which was awesome. But I think after Windsor ended and I had time, I realized that volleyball was missing for sure. But I think now, like I really enjoy playing in women's leagues and co-ed, but I'm more getting that itch to coach younger athletes and really help younger girls, you know, see a positive female role model, help with the team building and cohesion, confidence. Like it's so important, and I think I can help contribute in that way. And I know how fun club is at that level, so it's and how important it was for me. Yes. So I'm hopeful that one day I'll be able to give back in that sense. But that's where I'm kind of at now with that whole.
Like what you've been hearing so far? Make sure to follow us on IG at Lakers Locker Room and subscribe to our YouTube channel while you're at it, where you can find clips of all our episodes and video content associated with the podcast. Part 2 of the Lakers Locker Room starts now. Yeah, just even staying on that, because obviously, like, you know, it's been like 10 years from obviously when you last played until now. So there's a lot of things, even like in the 5 years that I've been here, there's definitely been a lot of improvement for Nipissing, specifically in athletics, in terms of the community involvement.
Yeah.
You coming back now, and obviously you talked about, like, you see a lot of, you know, the basketball team were more involved. I see, you know, hockey, volleyball, all these different sports involved. Just talk a bit about how it makes you feel from when you first came here to now 10 years later. Just kind of see the evolution of Nipissing really becoming more involved in the community, but more importantly, more athletes taking it upon themselves to get more involved. Because a lot of times people, like you said, like it's a full-time job. People might always say, oh, I don't have time for this and X, Y, Z. But you're seeing, I feel like my era kind of now of athletes really kind of get more involved. So just talk a bit with you kind of how awesome is that to see just more athletes getting involved in the community?
It's, like you said, it's so awesome to see. The community outreach aspect wasn't as big when I was here. Not saying there wasn't any, but I think now the student athletes you see almost daily to weekly are getting involved in the community. I think one of the big things that Vito really had a hand in was creating that Junior Lakers brand. So we have Junior Lakers soccer, volleyball, and hockey girls in the community. And I think that's really helped in terms of, one, it provides an avenue directly for our athletes to volunteer with. And then two, it also allows for like that potential recruitment piece for them to kind of see a behind the scenes look of what our student athletes experience. And I think that that's a really cool opportunity for one, the give back piece, and then for just sharing our brand as well. But in terms of the involvement, like going to the Doakes First Nations with the basketball team, that was something that we've never done before, and that was fantastic. And the joy that you see on their faces, when everyone comes through the door. And I think being in a small community in North Bay, it allows for a lot of the kids in North Bay to really have people to look up to, right? You see them in the stands, and they know who you are. They know who everybody is. And that's not the case at every single school. And I think that provides a unique opportunity to then give back that little bit extra and really make their days. And it's just, and provide them with, like, one, your technical advice too. Like, you guys are very smart and experts in your game. So it's it provides a great opportunity to give back and really be part of that small community that's Nipissing in North Bay. So it's a really neat thing that we got going on.
I think you nailed it. I've been saying it from time to time. I think the beauty about coming to Nipissing, let's say, from two big cities is, like, like you said, like the opportunity to really give back. Like when we come to Nipissing, like really the predominant sports is Nipissing athletics, right? It's not like Toronto where
this is the highest level of sport.
Exactly.
In North Bay.
I mean, there's like
other than the Italian, but that's,
we go to Toronto, and I've been to Raptors game, I've been to a TFC game. You know, I never been to a Leafs game, but you can go to a Leafs game, like the Toronto Argonauts. Like there's so many different things that you can do, but right here it's really just Nipissing athletics.
Exactly.
But I think it gives an opportunity for kids to look up to us. Either you can go, you can see the grocery store, say, oh, I know that person.
Exactly.
The Lakers gear, and that's been pretty cool to see. You know, so that's something that's been fun. Speaking of staying on this topic, obviously, you know, you came in this year, and obviously you were a big part of helping out with Shoot for Change this year. Third annual Shoot for Change game, did it great again, you know, 7K raise. We're at $34,000 over the last 3 years. So first, I just want to say thank you to the community. You know, this was my last year playing in the game, but that doesn't mean it's going to be the last time we're doing this event. So I just want to look at the camera and say thank you to everyone who made this Game Possible. You guys continue to come on every single year. It's been bigger every single year. I want to personally thank you on this podcast because, you know, you came here this year. Obviously, you didn't know much about it. Obviously, when Vito talked to you about it and I talked to you about it, obviously, you weren't like, oh, I'm not trying to do this. Like, you were so quick to help out. Even the day of the game, like, even when stuff was kind of going haywire and things like that, you kept a consistent smile. You continue to help us. So I just wanted to give your flowers in this podcast and say thank you. It's people like you who's made this event so fun to do. And I think people like you understand kind of the magnitude of it and just seeing how big it's the community. So I just want to personally thank you
for what you did. Yeah, thanks, Sean. I mean, it was a student-run event, and I personally believe there's so much power in student-athlete advocacy and speaking up for what you believe in, and is so powerful, and you did a fantastic job. I mean, I know you this is the third year, but it was a well-oiled machine. It went so smooth, and there was so many wonderful prizes and people filling the stands, so it was just a great event to be part of, and I appreciated being involved.
Yeah, what was your favorite part of kind of the event in terms of the day of, like, was it like, obviously you saw the jerseys, you saw, obviously we have the banners, we have the raffle, like the whole intro, just the whole ambiance of it. Like, this year was definitely the most packed it's ever been. Like, every single year has gotten bigger and better.
Yeah.
This has hands down been our most watched game once again for a third year.
Wow,
most watched
game,
not even close, filled up the stands. What was your favorite part about the event, just kind of seeing it for the first time and being a part of it?
Yeah, I mean, everything was awesome, but my favorite takeaways for sure were watching you speak so passionately about it, watching the video of the student athletes speaking as to why the event was important to them, and that was really powerful for everybody involved. But in terms of like how my role works with game day, it was nice to kind of sit back and also watch the event unfold. I was able to just witness the excitement of everyone in the stands and how loud it got when everyone when you guys were scoring, like, and watching the new suit team come on court and do some games in the halftime, like, just being able to really take it in, take a moment, take a breath, and observe and see how this affects everybody else. It was a unique opportunity, and I think that will help with future event planning and those special events as well that we have. So I think that was a really neat opportunity for me, just to be able to take a step back, because I knew you had it. You're a pro, but and that was really special for me.
Yeah. I appreciate that. Honestly, like, just me creating the event and just seeing how much it spreads to other schools, it's been like so life changing for me. Just obviously, like, you know, I just had someone ask me right now, but congrats on your award and stuff like that.
Yeah,
he was like, but you do this. But I was like, no, like, I don't say I do this, but what I will say is, like, even though it's been the fourth OUA award, it still feels like when I got it the first time, right? Like, every time you get it, it's a huge honor, right? Like, people don't understand how much work goes into, specifically the Ken Shields Award and the EDI Award, because it's about basketball, academics, and community. It's all three, right? So all three of those have to come into play. So to be able to have won that award twice, you know, to win four OUA awards, it's been such a humbling feeling. You know, specifically the banner, it's been a huge accomplishment of mine, specifically since it's the first time, you know, there's a black student athlete up there, right? So just people hopefully that look like me in the future can kind of see that and see, oh, like, it's possible,
exactly,
things like that. Yeah. So I'm just really appreciative, you know, for this university to be on board with this at day one. You know, this community has been unbelievable. Obviously, my coach, I talked to him my time, like, this wouldn't have happened without him, with this support. So just so many people to thank, and I just really appreciate the opportunity to really do this event and just be able to see it thrive throughout other schools. And that's what I'm looking forward to now that I'm done here, just how it keeps going, keeps growing, things like that.
For sure, yeah, how the legacy's kind of carried on, for sure.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, winding down this podcast, obviously there's been so many conversations about this that's been really fun to have you on, just so many insightful things. The last thing I want to talk about too, which I think you kind of touched on, but I think it's passion about women in sport.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is something that I think has really been a topic that I think has grown every single year. And I think there's a lot of people like the Toronto Raptors who've really made this a priority, which I'm super happy about.
Yeah.
You know, as someone who's now in a position, you know, from doing your master's, now you're in a position like this where there's more women in sport getting more opportunities to have higher level jobs. Kind of, what's been your take on the evolution of having this conversation? And if there is anything to be improved, like, what do you think could be improved to have more opportunities like this for women to be in higher positions in sport?
Yeah, it's a great question, and one that I'm really passionate about as well. Growing up in sport, there weren't a lot of females in sporting positions that I could see and really aspire to be. Not a lot of female coaches in club volleyball or coaches in the university level at all.
Yeah, exact directors, all those.
Exactly. And knowing that I wanted to be involved in sport and and knowing who I am as a person, like I consider myself pretty confident and a leader. And so knowing that I can make a difference in that area, I know how important it is to try and strive to be that person that others can look up to and be like, hey, it is possible.
Exactly.
I never thought about this role.
Right.
So my goal has always been, like a future career for me would be an athletic director position, and something that I'm currently striving for in terms of furthering education, just experiences, my role here. And I hope that that can help others when they're younger to be like, oh, we see this female leader in this position. That's something that maybe I think I can do, or would like to be a coach. Or there's a lot more bursaries and grants available for females to get involved in sport now than ever before, which is fantastic and a great starting point for sure. And I think that women can do anything they want in sport.
Yes.
They're more than capable and so athletic and strong and smart. I just think that there's so many opportunities for women to lead and really be leaders to the next generation of females. And you see it all the time in the new leagues that are coming out and sponsorship deals with women in sport. It's a hot commodity right now. And I just think there's so much potential in women in sport. And I'm happy to be a woman in sport. And I really look forward to the next generation and kind of see where that's going. And even within the OUA and U Sports, who knows what's going to happen next.
Exactly.
But there is now more than ever before more females involved in sport at the coaching and then higher levels, which is fantastic to see. And it just makes it a little bit more comfortable for women who, like myself, are trying to get to that next level. Seeing more women at the higher level really helps make it a little bit more feasible and accessible. It's fantastic. And I'm hopeful. I've been lucky to have some really good female mentorship in my life. And I think that piece is important as well, to share and to connect and help each other, support each other, get to the goals that you want. It's so powerful. And yeah, watch out, women in sport, they're coming.
Yeah, I'm just so happy. Like a lot of just minority groups in general have really been amplified since COVID, right?
Mm-hmm.
We talk about
mm-hmm.
women in sport, we talk about racialized communities, you know, obviously you look at the Wayne Truce Emmy Fellowship, obviously like they now have like one spot for someone who's
deaf
and marginalized community, so it could be a woman, it could be person of color, you know, shout out Rachel Van Wozniak, you know, who's our women's basketball coach. She was the finalist back in 2020. So like there's a lot more opportunities now for women to really excel in sports. And like I said, you really touched on it, just being able to show that visibility and showing that it's possible. Like a lot of and it's even the same thing, you know, with like just other stuff, like race and stuff like that, could be like, you know, people with doctors or lawyers, stuff like that, just any type of visibility
100%
that people could see, to see that it's possible. Because I've always said this before, a lot of times people, you know, have all this ambition when you're coming up, but then as you get older and you start to see, what can I possibly do? And then if you want to do something, you don't see someone that looks like you in that field, people lose kind of the motivation and kind of drop
and
out.
And the hope,
They drop out of the race before they get to the finish line, right? But now there's people at the finish line saying, hey, look, it's possible. Like, you can do it. Like, you can be an exec. You can be wherever you want to
be. And let me help you.
Exactly.
And that's the biggest piece.
Like, people, I feel like this era now is more people trying to help you versus trying to see, okay, what I do can you have? And let me still figure me and elevate myself. And I think and I think that's the biggest piece, too, for everyone. Everyone's trying to help people down.
Yes. The connections you make and relationships you foster are so important for moving forward in your career, your life, and in all aspects, really. But I think especially career-wise and for those minority groups that you mentioned, it's so important to have a connection of people that you can trust and rely on to get you to that next stage, breaking the glass ceilings, all that stuff. It's you can do it by yourself, but it's so much better and easier when you have a group.
We have a support system.
You, right? It helps.
Yeah, just around now, obviously, who were some of your female mentors that kind of helped you get to this position?
Yeah, for sure. I when I was working with the Ontario Volleyball Association, our executive director, Joanne Lubicic, she was super fantastic, and she was the president of the Ontario Volleyball Association. Just the way that she dealt with conflict, how she treated others with empathy and just kindness, but then also being so powerful, so smart, being able to make decisions. It's something that stuck with me and how I want to treat people and lead.
Yes.
If I'm ever in the position to do that. So I just think that was super powerful. And then all the other coaches that I worked with that were females, they really taught me a lot in terms of how to get to that next step. Again, how you lead, especially leading other females. It was so important. And I think that empowerment has helped me to get to where I am today.
Yeah, and I think, you know, just to kind of round off this episode, I think you touched on it, just how you treat people could be a difference between you excelling and you failing. I think a lot of times the people, you know, as they start to elevate and people start getting more and more opportunities to start to feel themselves and thinking, you did this by yourself. Like, you didn't get here by yourself. Mm-hmm. Rather, you have your family, you have people who help you.
It takes a village, right?
It takes a village. Yeah. It's the same thing we say about China. You know, it takes a village to raise a child, right? Well, it takes a village to elevate people to the top. Right? All the people we see at the top, you know, directors or, mm-hmm. you know, vice presidents and presidents of these companies, like, they didn't get there by themselves, right?
They have a network of people that support them.
Yeah.
And it's so important.
But I think the most important thing, too, is how you treat people. Is how the kind of what legacy you want to leave, mm-hmm. right? Because, like, a lot of times, sadly, sometimes people start to get to the top and then they become disrespectful, they become, you know, just kind of standoffish, and they turn a lot of people off.
For sure.
And unfortunately, there's times where people kind of in their career possibly might have a low point, and you might need those same people that you kind of turned off when you got to the top to support you.
Yeah.
So I think that's the most important thing, is just really make sure that no matter how much you elevate, no matter how many opportunities you get, and all these accolades stuff, that always stay true to yourself and always be a good person. And then at the end of the day, that's what gets you far.
100%. I agree, for sure.
So, you know, that's kind of all I want to talk about. But Lauren, I want to say thank you so much for coming to this podcast. I had a lot of great conversation. Mm-hmm. Really got to, you know, thank you for sharing your story, because I think a lot of people, you know, saw you this year, obviously didn't know who you were, didn't know that you used to come to Nipissing. Yeah. So I really appreciate you coming to share your story and kind of your student athlete and your maturation process. So thank you for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Tejon. This is a great platform to kind of speak and get to know people better. So this is fantastic. Thanks again.
So thank you so much. And with that said, that is a wrap on another edition of the Lakers Locker. I want to thank my special guest, Lauren Brenner, for joining us. You can find the video version interview on YouTube and listen to the full interview on all podcasting platforms. Peace.